Yes, it's time for our daily tafsir segment. We've been looking at verses from Surah Yasin, the 36th Surah of the Noble Quran. Yesterday we spoke about the fact that this Quran, in its miraculous nature, it's a proof of the authenticity of the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the sending of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the purpose behind that was to warn such a people, litunzira qauman, to warn such a people to whose forefathers were not sent any Nabi before. Meaning that the purpose of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to warn a people whose fathers were not warned, meaning the Arabs. And the fact that no warner, that is a prophet, had come to their ancestors since a long time, the reference being to the one nearer amongst them, since the coming of the great Nabi, Sayyidina Ibrahim, and with him his son, Sayyidina Ismail, after which no Nabi had appeared amongst the Arabs, and this had continued for several centuries. Even though the work of calling people towards the true faith, which the warning and the glad tidings kept on coming to them, وَإِمْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ لَا خَلَا فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ, there is no community without a warner having passed them. The message would have reached these people. The verse of the Quran confirms that it is part of the divine mercy. Allah has not kept any nation or community deprived of the essential call. But it's naturally obvious that the teachings of a Nabi, when communicated by the deputies, do not bring the same effect as when it is witnessed by the Nabi, by the people, from the Nabi himself. But then the present verse, it is said that after the Arabs, that no warner came to them as a fallout of the situation. There was no regular system of education in the Arabian Peninsula. And it is for that reason that they were known as Ummiyin. Ummiyin, unlettered people. So that is why Allah Rabbul Izzah referred to them as a people who were not warned and they were heedless. What is the purpose of the message coming to them? The purpose of the message coming to them is to establish the proof against them. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. The decree has been passed against most of them, so they will not believe. The word has indeed come through about most of them. Allah had put them in such a situation that had adopted the path where they were not going to believe. And the reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being told that they will not believe, this is simply to console Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, telling him, O Nabi of Allah, do not grieve about those who do not want to believe. Allah has already decreed that they will not believe. And furthermore, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, we have put inna ja'alna fi a'naqihim aghlala. We have placed iron collars over their necks. They placed iron collars over the necks. فَيَا إِلَى الْأَذْقَانِ فَمُقْمَحُونَ, reach up to their chins so that their heads are raised up. And this refers to the very people who we mentioned that these shackles were the shackles of their habits and customs, the love of passion and wealth, and blindly following of their forefathers. Allah had already placed before human beings two alternative ways of life. The way of kufr, disbelief, and the way of iman, faith, and the way of Jannah and Jahannam. And to give direction and substance to the call of faith, Allah has sent anbiya and books. And in fact, he went further ahead by giving human beings the choice first to identify what is good or bad for one, and then to take either of the two ways. Now, if there's an unfortunate person who does not neither think nor ponder over proof and nor listen to the call of the Anbiya, does not deliberate of any book of Allah, then once this person has made a choice and has taken his way, Allah assembles for him everything he needs to achieve the end goal. One who embraces the disbelief, for him, the supply of things, circumstances, then is made available for him to follow through on that path. لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى أَكْثَرِهِمْ, which means that against most of the people, because of the choice of the evil, the decisive verdict of Allah, they're not going to believe, has already been pronounced. When you make a choice, then كُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ, you then choose a path which is a path which is suitable for yourself. There's also another similitude that comes through from this condition of them being shackled up to their necks, is that given the dissimilitude by saying that they look like people whose necks have been shackled in a manner that causes their faces and eyes to stay upright, rendering them totally unable to see their way on the ground. And if so, it's obvious that one cannot remain safe against the likelihood of falling down if you're just looking up all the time. There's a ditch before you. So that is another way that is being looked, that these people are looking up, but they're not looking what's ahead, and that is why they're going to fall into a possible ditch or crevice. That is where they're going wrong. Another similitude is, it is said that it is like a wall having been placed as a barrier all around someone. And thus, surrounded, this person becomes unaware of what is going on outside. Similarly, the infidels surrounded by the ignorance, and on top of that, by the hostility and the dodginess. So under these conditions, it is as if the truth present elsewhere simply does not reach them. Imam Razi rahimahullah said that there are two kinds of barriers against perception. One barrier is of a kind that prevents one from seeing even himself. And the second barrier is the inability to see one's surroundings. And for the disbelievers, both kind of barriers against seeing the truth were present. Therefore, the first barrier, that you cannot see yourself, one cannot bend one's neck to lower his eyes, and he cannot see his own self in the state in which he exists. And the external barrier, the second, is that the person, or the second barrier, stops one from seeing one's surroundings. And both this was found amongst the kuffar, that they could not see the truth within themselves, they could not see it within their surroundings. And that is the similitude of their disbelief and their hostility. And some of the commentators have taken the description and said that Abu Jahl and some others bent on hurting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lunged towards him, but Allah cast curtains over their eyes, and thus they were rendered helpless and they went back. And many similar incidents have been reported. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read the Quran loudly in the Haram, which displeased the mushrikeen. Some of them decided to harass Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and sneak behind him to seize him. However, Allah punished them and said, from the next downwards, their bodies became paralyzed. They all turned blind. They pleaded with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make dua that Allah cures them because of their family relation. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua, their condition was restored. There's also another narration that says that of Abu Jahl, as we mentioned, he took a rock and proceeded to carry out an evil and nasty agenda. However, as he approached Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and raised the rock, his hand became firmly stuck to his neck, and he turned to his companions, who tried in vain to release his hand from his neck. Another person then took the rock and proceeded to accomplish what Abu Jahl had failed to do. As this person approached Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah took away his eyesight, as he could not find his way back. His companions had to call him back. Thereafter, a third villain proceeded with the same thought in mind. And as he was walking towards Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he suddenly turned back, and in flight he absconded. When his accomplice asked him what was the reason, he said he saw a large camel that appeared before him as he approached Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He then told them that he never seen such a large camel in his life, and it was ready to devour him if he dared draw near to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the author of Ruhul Ma'ani, Allama Baghdadi rahimahumullah, has written that this verse could have been revealed for the specific incidents that we've mentioned, or it may metaphorically denote that these people are helpless against Allah Rabbul Izzah. There's nothing that they can do. There's no way they can in any way harm the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam beyond what Allah has already decreed. And it is for that reason that Allah goes further to say, وَسَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. It is the same to them. Whether you warn them or you do not warn them, they will not believe. They will not believe. It is the same to them whether you warn them. When people make themselves blind to the truth and deaf to all advices, their hearts cannot be penetrated. It's only possible to warn them, those who follow the advices. You cannot warn people who are not interested. إِنَّمَا تُنذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنَ بِالْغَيْبِ. It's only possible to warn that person who follows the advices and fears Ar-Rahman without seeing him. And this refers to the mu'min who fulfills Allah's commands and fears retribution for his shortcomings. Allah declares, give him the glad tidings of forgiveness and a bounty. فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةِ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ. So give him the glad tidings of forgiveness and a noble reward. And it's only those who fear Allah that are guided. And the benefit of warning is only seen on him who accepts your advice, acts on it, and then fears Allah in his heart. If a person has no fear whatsoever of Allah and does not bother about any advice, whether that will not benefit him in any way. So that is the people that will be benefited from the advices of the noble Quran. May Allah grant us the understanding.